This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
We were putting video ads on mobile phones. That wasn't the most inspiring purpose. In some ways, we were polluting mobile phones with more and more ads. We were solving key problems, and that's why the company was very successful. But it definitely was difficult to hire people when there's other companies out there that are more consumer facing. And so I've always been yearning to do something more impactful. And obviously this is a dream scenario. If you're starting a company and you focus on something that's purpose-driven, you're more likely to succeed. I mean, I succeeded too. The sense of purpose wasn't as strong as the one you have. You know, we did a lot of good things in our company. We allowed people to use mobile games for free. We allowed developers to have a new revenue model, but it certainly isn't as impactful as ridding the world of pollution and getting rid of the landfill, right? That's a core enemy everyone can relate to. Our core enemy was, you know, traditional ways of media consumption, TV, and also people who had really bad advertising experiences. Yeah. Other companies who had ads that were so intrusive they would crash the app. So it was a problem that needed to be solved. But you know, congratulations on finding something so worth of tackling.
Thank you.
So you've also managed to achieve a lot very quickly, and you've been able to turn to grants, I understand, in Europe. Talk us through that, because that's a very interesting thing that's specific to Europe. There's a lot of opportunity for startups in Europe to get government grants. Could you walk us through that?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we've done so far is we've been focusing on zero equity grants, meaning state funding without any equity involvement. So basically, it's state support for new entrepreneurs that are building something meaningful for the state or for Europe. So there is grants that are state funding based, and there's grants that are EU funding based, right? So what we've done so far is focusing on those, in addition to the competition that we won, obviously. So that is our strategy right now. We're kind of focusing on applying for this funding that is zero equity, that is available largely also thanks to the hard times that we're in right now, because the European Union has added extra funding towards fighting globally important problems at this time, especially. So I think that is something that every startup should explore and should look at, because, we live in difficult times right now. And even in terms of VCs, I mean, we're not like we haven't actively tried to fundraise from institutional investors or from angels. However, it's obviously a more challenging time to fundraise than it was before, because even VCs themselves are worried for when are they going to be able to raise their own next fund, right? So if Europe is adding to the pot and saying, okay, these are crazy times, here's more opportunities for you to get zero equity grants, then why not go for it? That is exactly what we're currently doing. And so, yeah, we've been successful so far. And there's a few other initiatives that we're applying for right now. So fingers crossed.
Yeah, a lot of people criticize Europe as being very different from America, specifically Silicon Valley. This is something Europe's done very well. And, you know, we were introduced even through contacts I have within the, you know, ecosystem of Europe and European Union governments. And this is such a good example of fostering entrepreneurship. And one advantage Europe definitely has relative to the US. I mean, there are grants in every region, you just have to explore them. Even in property, by the way, even in real estate development, there are grants and there are government subsidies and incentives. It just takes work and effort to uncover them. But in Europe, there's a more sophisticated ecosystem, right? I started my company in Europe too, and we were the beneficiary of a few government programs too. We could not have succeeded without that. And then obviously the challenge there was that to really go to the next stage, we needed venture capital. And the US was the best place for us to do that, which is where we ended up being and, you know, where I still reside. But today, at least, the European ecosystem is more advanced. The venture capital ecosystem there is flourishing, at least relative to what it was like when I started out a decade ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Eva, do you have any questions for me as an entrepreneur or also as an investor that you think might help?
Questions to you. I saw your previous podcast, and what was interesting was that you said that in your opinion, the next big unicorn or the $1 trillion startup, as you said, is going to be in prop tech.
Yes.
Any further explanation why do you think that, and what would be the exact like area of prop tech where it could come from?
Honestly, I would take back that statement and I would change it to add a plural. I think multiple $1 trillion companies will come from the industry. I mean, it has to, right? The level of transactions in prop real estate overall are in trillions of dollars, sometimes multiples of GDP. You also have the fact that real estate is the world's largest asset class. Everything has been disrupted in the traditional world except real estate. There are probably three areas where I think there are massive opportunities: cryptocurrency, health tech, and real estate. And each of them very large, but real estate, the one that just has all the right ingredients for many entrepreneurs to build something. And also something that can scale globally, because in the day, real estate is basically buildings, and we all live in buildings. It's something we can all relate to. So if something works in a certain region, technically it should work everywhere. So you actually have a very interesting phenomenon in real estate. It's very hard to get started when you're building a company. You've got to go and deal with fragmentation of data. You've got to deal with disparate, you know, property developers everywhere. Every startup deals with this. You've got to get a critical mass. Eventually you become a standard, and then you can easily grow and get tremendous benefits from a scale perspective. So I'll give you an example. Think about Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
Airbnb is very valuable because wherever you go in the world, you know, you can rely on Airbnb. Or, you know, whenever you stay in a hotel, you can rely on the Marriott brand or the Hyatt brand or whoever it may be. So real estate provides this opportunity that when you make it big.
Yeah.
When your unit economics work on a tiny micro level, if that works, it scales tremendously. I experienced this phenomena in the mobile advertising ecosystem. We were trying to help game developers advertise and make sure when they spend their money, they're making more money than they spend. That every user that they spend a dollar on generates them more than a dollar. We used advanced AI techniques, at least at that time. Today's ML and AI techniques just would blow it out of the water. But when we started out, you know, we actually did pure data science. Now, we found when we were able to work on a small scale with some developers and change their unit economics, right, that would expand and make an even bigger impact when we went to larger game developers. In the same way, if your product or any prop tech product makes an impact on a local developer and you scale that out, it will have a magnificent impact at a much larger scale. And this is one of the unique things about real estate or prop tech in its current state. The unit economics work on a small scale and you prove them out, there's great opportunity, especially for venture capital. Great opportunity to generate home run returns.
Absolutely. I've heard some people say that prop tech is the new fintech. You know, like after a few years ago, like 3-4 years ago, and also with PSD2, when, you know, banks had to have their open APIs to share the data with new players in the industry, namely startups. It kind of opened the door to a new revolution in the fintech industry. And so everyone was buzzing around that. And now this year, I hear people saying that prop tech or construction tech is the new it thing, so to speak, that is going to be the next big thing.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Absolutely, and you're right. Prop tech did emerge from fintech. In fact, when you looked at fintech, there was a segment of fintech that was called, you know, prop tech. And then you can try to visualize this, right, as a big circle, and you've got fintech as the big circle and prop tech within that circle. Prop tech started to grow and grow and grow to now where it's touching other areas. Construction tech, which is nothing like fintech really, or you've got, you know, alternative uses and experiences of real estate too. So connected devices and robotics and everything. Suddenly prop tech becomes its own category, and it's worthy of its own category. Prop tech is still a term that to many sounds like jargon.
Mm.
And eventually it will be as big as fintech or health tech or cryptocurrency. Prop tech will be its own category. And I would argue it is already its own category, but it will be one of the largest categories out there. Of course, by the time that happens, the opportunities have gone. By the time that's happened, right, it's because of a backward looking view, because so many companies made it, so many returns were made. And at some point, you know, there'll be the next thing. Who knows what that will be?
Nobody knows, but I think the time is now to act on it, to actually build on it, right? There's a beautiful world outside without any screens, without any technology. We should work on kind of preserving that instead of building a new world through the screen. That is my firm belief. And I think that we have to go back to the nature, and we have to preserve it as much as we can.
Yeah, and this sentiment is shared, and it's widespread now. It's emerging. And that's what's needed. We need society that's progressive, because when everyone starts to think this way, the world will change to match our expectations. We need more creators, we need more disruptors. We need people that will challenge the status quo, very much like you're doing and other great prop tech companies are doing. So, you know, looking forward to that. I want to thank you for being on the show.
Thank you very much, Zane. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.